At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, the new Formula One season opened last week in Australia with George Russell taking the honours. There are new rules, there are new cars. Will it be any less boring in the early stages of the season, similar to last year, or have the changes made any difference? There was one man who was not particularly happy with his performance, and that was the world champion, Lando Norris.
Finished pretty where we deserved to. I think it was really quite clear the Red Bull was a lot quicker just because Max came from last and almost beat us. So not the best race in terms of pace. We struggled with some things on the car at the beginning. We made some tweaks and that certainly improved things. We're nowhere near where we need to be, clearly.
Okay, so we are joined now by Eve Conway from Off the Ball, who's been following the overnight action from Shanghai as well. They had a sprint race. Eve, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, will you talk to us about the changes in the rules and the new cars that have come on board, the new brands, if you like Cadillac?
Yes. So it's been a wholesale change, I suppose, in Formula One. The people involved, the drivers, the pundits, the engineers are saying it's maybe the most drastic change that's ever happened at one time in the sport. And yes, you're right as well. New teams coming in, which means there are 22 drivers on the grid at the moment with Cadillac coming into the sport. But yeah, these new regulations, it's completely changing the way the cars are running. It's now 50-50 between battery power and engine power. And I think some teams are handling that new change better than others.
Now, how do they draw on their electric power? Is it discretionary or are they told when they may use electric power?
So there are certain areas on the grid where you can, I think the term that they're using is boost, where you can draw on the power. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the overtakes that are happening. You mentioned earlier, you know, will Formula One be more exciting than it was last year? And I think at the surface level, it is appearing so. They are drawing on the energy in the batteries, allowing, I think they're calling it the overtake mode. And you saw that last week in Australia, the battle between Russell and Leclerc for the lead of the race. And of course, some perhaps critics of these new regulations are saying that it makes for false overtaking, that the using the battery power is making the overtakes too easy. But I don't think any Formula One fan will complain about more overtaking.
Mm. I presume, though, when you've overtaken using the battery power, the fantastic acceleration you get from that, then you've used it and your competitor may decide to attack back when the opportunity arises and will have that power available.
Yes, that's pretty much exactly what was happening. You have a bit of a tit for tat back and forth. It's slightly different to the old system, the DRS, the drag reduction system, which had been in place for around 15 years prior to this. It's almost like a bit of a slingshot. You have one driver can overtake and then they have used up a bit of their battery power. They need to conserve it and kind of repower it. And then the other driver can come ahead and overtake again. But I suppose what is most important is trying to find the balance between your aerodynamics and the battery power and the engine. And so far, it's seeming that Mercedes and Ferrari are the teams who have kind of got that balance going best.
And Hamilton expressed himself very happy with his race, even though he didn't win, but he placed well and he seemed to enjoy the race, which he has not been doing for the last couple of seasons.
No, I mean, Hamilton's move to Ferrari, which sort of shocked the world of Formula One, perhaps didn't get off to the start that he would have wanted. He didn't get a proper race win last season. He did well in the sprint, but not a full race. Now Ferrari probably have their best start to a season in maybe 4 or 5 years. And yes, Hamilton finishing fourth out in Australia and then qualifying overnight in Shanghai, P3. So he's looking pretty good going into this weekend.
And who won the sprint?
The sprint was won by George Russell, who has now, I mean, that means he's pretty much won every race so far this season of the two that have taken place so far.
I suppose the biggest news in Formula One, besides these wholesale changes, is, and not unexpectedly, I suppose, the Bahrain and the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix have to be cancelled because of the trouble in the Gulf.
Yes, now that pretty much wasn't unexpected. The logistical challenge of trying to transfer all of the equipment, all of the staff, all of everything that would need to go to the Middle East with the conflict was really an impossibility. What is happening now, though, is the fact that it was cancelled at such short notice means that there isn't time, at least in April, to reschedule any of the Grand Prix. So there's talk perhaps of trying to fit one in kind of later on in the summer. But for now, it's looking like after the race in Japan in 2 weeks time, there's going to be no Grand Prix racing until May.
And a huge financial hit to Formula One, and where that will take its toll remains to be seen. Eve, thank you very much for joining us. That's Eve Conway from Off the Ball.
But up towards the line, Gaelic Warrior will win the Gold Cup for Paul Townend and Willie Mullins. The champion hurdle, the champion chase, and the Gold Cup. What a week!
What a week indeed. John Duggan was there. John, how was Cheltenham for you?
Pat, Cheltenham was always great. It's the Olympics of national hunt racing. I was actually very sad when I was at Cheltenham to hear that Ronnie Delaney had died, and the winner of the 1956 1500 metres, the singular achievement in our sport at the time, and just a really sad news. And,
John, can I ask you a question? Do you know what his winning time was in 56?
I do not know off the top of my head.
Well, that's because you should have been at the Rape Crisis Quiz on Thursday, which I hosted, and News Talk tied with the Irish Times. Well, the tie-breaking question
was... Is that the tie-breaking question?
Yes. And the Irish Times got it.
Oh, my God.
And News Talk, alas, did not.
Okay. Well, anybody...
So you could not have saved them?
I could not have saved them, Pat, even from Cheltenham. Whatever age you are, you should know the story of Ronnie Delaney. What an amazing athlete he was. So Cheltenham, yes, it was a good week. Another good week for Irish trained horses and jockeys going over, and some good individual stories. But I suppose we spoke to him last week on the show, Willie Mullins. Yeah. He went over what all his hopes and the dreams have been fulfilled. He won all the big races, the Champion Hurdle, the Champion Chase, the Gold Cup.
Not necessarily with the horses he expected to win those races, but there you go.
Well, no, Bashbury was a disappointing favourite in the Champion Chase, but Il Était Temps, one of his second string, won. But Gaelic Warrior was a one-horse race in the Gold Cup. Yeah. Willie has now equaled Tom Draper's record of 5 Cheltenham Gold Cup wins.
So Paul Townend and himself both each have 5 Gold Cups.
They do. It's just incredible. And no, Cheltenham is... is something we anybody who's never been should just go, because there's no other race meeting like it. There were 67,000 people there yesterday, Pat.
Now, I mean, the atmosphere was incredible and the coverage was absolutely brilliant, I have to say. I watched a lot of it on the telly. But today I will be glued to Ireland-Scotland.
Super Saturday, Pat.
Yep.
The rugby, the Six Nations draws to a close, 2:10 kick-off at the Aviva Stadium before Wales play Italy at 4:40, then France-England at 8:10. Look, we're going for Triple Crown. That used to mean a lot when Ireland weren't winning Triple Crowns for 33 years, 49 to 82. But I think one of the things I've noticed about the Six Nations this year, the emotional pitch of a team is very important. You look at the way Ireland attacked England at Twickenham and really just had the emotional energy right. And Scotland against France last week had that emotional pitch right, put 50 points on the board against the French. Scotland haven't won here since 2010. That was at Croke Park. We beat them the last 11 times in a row. You know, they're almost like that boxer who comes in, you know, in the lead up to the ring, and they're all throwing, you know, they're dancing away. And then in the first round, they find out that life is not as easy as you think. So we've had good forward dominance in games against them. I think we need to manage the game well through Jack Crowley, because Finn Russell is a very good player and they've got very good backs, but so do we. We've got Robert Balakoon and Tommy O'Brien here now, quick wingers.
So were Wales better than we thought, or did we not perform as well as we might?
We didn't perform as well as we might, but we still got a bonus point, Pat. And sport sometimes is about the jersey and the emotional pitch. Wales are fighting for their pride in their nation. And England have to do the same tonight. Mm. The permutations are, if we win and England beat France, we're the champions. So not only is there a Triple Crown on the line, Pat, but there's a championship potentially on the line. I'd expect France to win. If they win tonight, they...
Yeah, it's hard to see England resurrect their season with a victory against France.
Are they playing for the coach or not? And that's
doubtful.
That's the key. But for Ireland, look, big days for the likes of Tom O'Toole at Loosehead. James Ryan is injured, but we've got good forward power. James Gibson Park has, to me, been the player of the tournament. And bring it on. And it's all on Off the Ball from 1 o'clock, Pat.
Very good. John Duggan, looking forward to all of that.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Stuck with a high-maintenance credit card rate? This new year, it's time to break up. Transfer your balance to CME Federal Credit Union and enjoy 3% APR for 12 months. New year, better vibes, big savings. You deserve a wallet that loves you back. Make an appointment today with your neighbors at CME Federal Credit Union and transfer your high-maintenance credit card balance and save. Terms and conditions apply. New balances only, 5% balance transfer fee. Visit CMEFCU.org for details.